meditating, strengthening the mind. Strengthening the mind is very similar to strengthening the body. You need to have some strength to begin with. To develop further strength, in Thai the word for exercising is okamlang, which means you put forth effort, you've put forth energy. And in putting it forth, then you gain something in return. And so as you meditate, you have to use what strength you already have if you're going to gain further strength. They list five strengths altogether in the standard list. There's conviction, persistence, mindfulness, concentration, and discernment. The fact that conviction comes first shows that it's important. As one of my teachers in Thailand once said, that you notice that the list leading up to discernment doesn't start with words or ideas. It starts with conviction. Traditionally, this means conviction in the Buddha's awakening. And it's not just one of those facts that's out there in history. It's one of those facts that has implications for what you're doing right here, right now. The idea that someone, through his efforts, could find true happiness. And it was based on qualities of mind that were not peculiar to him. Qualities that we all have in at least some potential form. And so the implication there, of course, is that he could do it, you can do it too. And because he found this way and was expert in gaining that freedom, you treat his words the way you would with an expert's words. Not necessarily something that you have to believe or that you're being forced to believe, but you trust that because he knew what he was doing, his explanations of how to do it deserve some special respect. So there are a lot of implications to having conviction in the Buddha's awakening. And of course, there's going to be some part of the mind that resists this. After all, it could be just one of those stories that comes from the past. And we've heard lots of those. Or maybe it wasn't transmitted properly. Maybe the principles that he said were universal principles applied only in his culture. There are lots of ways that we could develop doubts and uncertainty about the path. Let's look at how the Buddha said to deal with uncertainty. First, of course, you ask yourself, what are you being asked to believe? You're being asked to believe that your actions have an impact. And the quality of the mind with which you act is going to have an impact on the results of that action. And it's possible to learn from your mistakes. You do have that freedom of choice. And where the Buddha is asking you to take this a little bit further than normal, of course, is that by following this principle, you can go all the way to true happiness, a happiness that doesn't change. But the first parts there are very easy to accept, although it's interesting, there's part of the mind that many times would rather its actions not have results, especially when you know you're doing something unskillful. So you have to ask yourself, what's the state of mind that would want to doubt these things? Is it a state of mind that you'd like to go with? Sometimes the state of mind is just a matter of your own defilements. Your own greed, your own aversion, your own laziness, your own delusion. And sometimes those attitudes are fortified by ideas we picked up from our culture. There's an awful lot in Western culture that goes against the Dharma. teaches you that greed is good. That true happiness is impossible. But happiness that's good enough can be bought. That teaches you that if you don't follow your sensual desires, you're going to end up twisted and mentally unbalanced. There's a lot in Western culture that feeds on our greed, aversion, and delusion, and encourages our greed, aversion, and delusion. Like that cartoon in the New Yorker several years back, which a man is standing in front of a magazine rack, and the names of the magazines are all the seven deadly sins. Our culture encourages these things. So when you start having doubts about the practice or uncertain about the practice, you have to ask yourself, whose values are speaking? And what's the quality of the mind that's speaking here? You want to step back from these things. It's not that you don't listen to your doubts at all, but you also want to figure out which doubts are coming from an honest uncertainty, which ones are coming from other agendas. Then ask yourself, which of these voices do you want to identify with? Then, of course, there's the simple doubt of not knowing. But you also to realize that if you wait for true knowledge, absolute certain knowledge to come, you're going to die first. We live in a world of uncertainties. We have to take gambles as to what we think will be an effort that's worth expending to get a reward in terms of pleasure, well-being, satisfaction. That's commensurate with the effort we put in. This is a part of human life that's uncomfortable, and most of us don't like to think about how much we're taking on faith as we go through the day. But even just believing that the world's going to go on the way it has been, there's no guarantee. So you have to realize there's going to be some element of uncertainty as you make choices in life. And this is where you have to balance what seems to be a safe choice as opposed to an unsafe one, a likely choice as opposed to an unlikely one, a noble choice as opposed to an ignoble one. And you look at the Buddha's teachings and they fit all the criteria, being safe, noble, likely, that there is a pattern to the principle of cause and effect. And even if it doesn't work out that that's the way things are, you've developed good qualities in the present moment, and there's a certain satisfaction that comes from that, a certain sense of nobility, that you've acted on your higher impulses rather than your lower ones. So you have to be willing to commit to something before you learn any truth. This is a principle John Lee repeats over and over again. So you have to be true in order to find the truth. You have to say, I'm going to give myself to this particular course of action, this particular way of approaching life. And then see what comes out as a result. You have to give it time. You have to give it energy. Without expending the energy, you're not going to get the strength of conviction in return. And so you look around. Who are the people who follow this path in the past? In my own case, this was one of the things that really convinced me that this was worth looking into, was meeting a John Fuang. Remember when I first learned of Buddhism, the idea that someone would practice to be free of greed, aversion, and delusion, it sounded like a dead person. Didn't sound all that attractive at all. Then I met someone who devoted his life to the path. And he was very alive and very alert and very wise. And inspired a lot of trust. And as he said, this wasn't how he had started out in life. He said he owed it all to the training. And I compared him to the other people I'd known, other possible ways I could live my life. And his seemed to be the most likely to show good results. It was a risk, a lot of uncertainties. But I felt inspired by the example. So this is why it's good to read the stories of the Ajahns, people in the past who've given their lives to the practice. Sometimes it's easier to relate to people who live closer to us in time. Although you can read the Tarigata and Tarigata, and you realize that problems people have been having in training their minds are not much different now from what they were back then. So you look at the lives of those who practiced, and then you give it a good try. Notice which qualities of the mind the Buddha says are unskillful, which ones are skillful, and try to develop the skillful ones and recognize the skillful ones, recognize the unskillful ones in your own mind. So you can develop the skillful ones and abandon the unskillful ones and see what happens. And this is not the sort of thing you just try for a few weekends. But you ask yourself, if you don't give yourself to this kind of life, this kind of practice, this kind of belief, what belief are you giving yourself to? What habits are you training yourself in? We don't usually think about that. We just kind of live our ordinary lives and don't particularly think of it as a training in any way. But maybe we're training ourselves in laziness. Maybe we're training ourselves in an unwillingness to commit. Is that something you want to train in? And what it comes down to is the fact that we always are making choices. But all too often we don't really realize what we're choosing. So at the very least, this question about do you want to place your faith in the Buddha's awakening, it forces you to realize that you are making choices. You are training the mind in one direction or another. Is it the direction you want to go? What kind of hope does that direction hold out? The Buddhist direction holds out the hope that maybe there really is a true happiness. That's not dependent on conditions. It's not going to leave you because of aging or illness or death. Now, if you want to find out if that's a genuine possibility, there's only one way to do it. That's to do whatever the path requires. That's the only way you're going to know. So do you want to know this, whether this is true or not? That's what it comes down to. Or are there other things you'd rather know that strike you as more important or more desirable? That's the kind of question we all have to ask ourselves. The problem is that all too often we pretend that the question has already been answered without our having to do anything, without our having to put anything out, to expend any effort or any energy. But we're always putting energy into something. So this is one of the ways of overcoming your doubt, is seeing when you put energy into something, what kind of results are you getting? Are they the results you want? Are they commensurate with the energy you put in? What kind of happiness would really satisfy you? What vision would you like to have for the possibilities of human life? If it includes the possibility of a true happiness, then this is the path that works. because you listen to those words, you don't know. But this is the path that provides that possibility. And it's up to you to decide whether you want to test it or not. Keeping in mind John Lee's words, that it's through being true that we find the truth.